Well, we are in this series that we're calling The Road to Recovery, and this is part two of repairing relationships. Last week we talked about blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Today we're going to be talking about blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. And we are spelling the word recovery through this series. We will be in, we're on principle six, as you see in your sermon notes today. Both blessed are the merciful and blessed are the peacemakers come out of principle six. Typically, we have been saying those eight principles that come out of the Beatitudes. Today, though, we are going to recite together the Beatitudes in their fullness, Matthew 5, 3 through verse 10. It's in the New International Version. Will you say this with me? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. This is Jesus' introductory remarks as he began his public ministry. He said the blessing of God is going to flow through here to these people that are poor in spirit, that mourn, that are meek, that hunger and thirst for righteousness. As we looked at those first Beatitudes, we're saying that out of our emptiness, out of what we don't have, it should bring us a hunger and a thirst for God. We realize that we have nothing to give to God. We are all spiritually bankrupt. If you've ever mourned over your own sin or the pain of this life or what others have done to you, God says through Jesus Christ, if you mourn, God will come alongside and he'll comfort you. If you will humble yourself and have that meek spirit and entrust yourself into his care and develop that hunger for rightness, for righteousness. And when you develop that hunger, God begins pouring into your life the qualities of God himself. You will find yourself being a merciful person, someone that has a purity of heart, a singular focus. Purity of heart is to will one thing, and you will become, by nature, a peacemaker. This is what God promises you through his Son, Jesus Christ. And today, we're going to be on this sixth principle, evaluate all my relationships, offer forgiveness to those who have hurt me, and make amends for harm that I've done to others when possible, except when to do so would harm them or others. And out of Matthew 5, 9, Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. You know, in our world, there are peace breakers, there are peace fakers, but God calls his children to be peacemakers. And as we've seen through this series, Jesus isn't telling us how to be a follower of Christ. He's saying these are the characteristics that come out of the life of a person who is following Jesus. So if you're following Jesus, you will be a peacemaker in a world of conflict. Now, in your notes, you see that a peacemaker means a founder or promoter of peace. And biblically, it's peacemaking is bringing the peace of God that the follower of Christ has experienced and extending it to others. You bring peace into chaotic situations and into conflict because you have that peace within you. When you enter a room with conflict, you bring peace with you because God is within you. A person who lives with unresolved conflict in their heart cannot bring peace to others. Now, we all know people there were, and that we can think about, that conflict seems to follow those people around. It seems like wherever they go, they leave a trail of conflict. And one of the reasons that happens is because they are conflicted from within. Here's what Jesus taught us in the Beatitudes. Whatever fills your life spills out of your life. Whatever fills your life spills out of your life. And a lot of conflict spills out through anger and wrath and jealousy, envy, frustration, all of those type of things. And the progression of the Beatitudes is that peacemaking comes after a pure heart. The pure in heart will see God, and the peacemakers will be called the children of God. Why would it follow? We'll see that a little bit later. James talks about that as well. Why is purity of heart first? Remember, purity of heart was to will one thing. And a person is in conflict with themselves, has internal conflict, cannot will one thing. They want to do one thing and they do another, or they say, this is an area of my life I'm just going to hold off. And because they are conflicted within themselves, they can't bring peace. The Bible calls them double-minded people. And the follower of Christ develops a desire. Listen, you develop a desire to honor God more than anything else, which means your desire to bring glory to God exceeds your personal right to hold on to anger, bitterness, and offense, unresolved conflict, unforgiveness, wrath, or simply writing people off. Because honoring God is more important than my right to hang on to that. Aren't you glad that our God never said to you, I am so done with you. That's it. You've reached it. Go your own way. What God calls us to is not to be just an upgrade of our broken self. I want you to hear that. God doesn't want to make you the best person that you can be, because you at your best is just a dressed up sinner. God calls you to be like his son Jesus. And the only way that that's going to happen is if God's power is in your life. And when God's power comes into your life, you speak from it. You begin to develop this character from a place of strength and peace from God himself. A couple people asked me last week, you know, in this, when we talked about being merciful. And there's some situations, because mercy sometimes looks like enabling, and how do we know when we're being merciful, and how merciful just should we be? So I've just kind of contemplated that, and I don't have a clearly defined answer for you. I think this is in relationship with God, and God works this out. But here's one of the things that I think has challenged me. God is calling you to be more merciful than you feel comfortable being. God didn't come to make you comfortable. He wants you to make merciful like his son. And he's going to require us to have faith. And so probably wherever God is calling me to bring mercy is going to bring me out of my comfort zone. In fact, I'll say it this way. If you can sit here and say, I'm comfortable with how merciful I am, I would tell you God may not be pleased with your response to that. He's going to take us into areas out of our comfort zone where we rely upon his strength. And in the area of peace, God is going to take you into places that you're uncomfortable going. But you will go and you will see miracles of God, because the power of God will be in your life. So let's look at what this means to be a peacemaker. See, the Bible teaches us that peacemakers are produced by God. He says they will be called children of God. Another way to say it is God's offspring are peacemakers. This is what God brings about when he is involved in your life. Look what 2 Corinthians 5:17 says. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. You have a new nature within you if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. This old life has gone and the new life has begun. The new life hasn't arrived, it's begun. You are going to learn what it is to walk in Christ as you align your will toward him and give God a purity of heart. And all this is a gift from God, who has brought us back to himself through Christ. In other words, he made peace with us. And God has given us the task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sin against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. Now, one of the words that you see there repeatedly is that word reconcile. It means to reestablish a relationship. And what Jesus clearly teaches us, what the Bible shows us, is that we are all in need of recovery. We have all had experienced hurts in our lives. We've all had people hurt us. We've hurt other people. The very reason that Jesus Christ came in this world for himself is that he needed to restore the relationship because sin separated us from God. By the way, sin always disrupts peace. Sin always brings separation in life. This word reconciliation means to take two opposing parties and to settle, to bring them into agreement. Sometimes it's an accounting term. You have debts, you have liabilities, and you have assets. And when your liabilities exceed your assets, which is true for all of us, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, how in the world are we going to get that balance sheet back? We try to do it through good works. And God says, that's just like filthy rags. They're not worth much. They're not going to reconcile. So you needed somebody to balance, to do away with your debt, our debt of sin. So God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. Jesus paid the debt we could not pay for ourselves. But here's what I want you to catch in that. The debt was paid. Somebody had to pay the price. See, you could add the word peace in here. In fact, here's what the New Century Version says. All this is from God through Christ. God made peace between us and himself, and God gave us the work of telling others about peace that we can have with him. God was in Christ making peace between the world and himself. In Christ, God did not hold the world guilty of sins. He gave us this message of peace. So we have been sent to speak for Christ. It is as if God is calling to you through us. We speak for Christ when we beg you to be at peace with God. Christ had no sin, but God made him become sin so that in Christ we could be made right with God. You and I all had a problem for God. We had an irreconcilable debt that we owed him. So God gave us Jesus who paid the price. Listen, peacemakers are people who are willing to pay the price for agreement to be found, for two opposing parties or points of view to come together. But make no mistake, peacemaking will cost you. Hello? It costs Jesus. You're called to be like Jesus, God's character in you, and somebody will have to pay the price. This is throughout Scripture. In Isaiah chapter 53, we have the great messianic passage of Isaiah, hundreds of years before crucifixion was even invented, and yet Isaiah shows in very graphic detail what's going to happen to God's anointed one, his Messiah. In Isaiah 53:5, it says this, "He, the Messiah, was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds we are healed." Jesus paid the price we couldn't pay so we could be at peace with him. Colossians 1:19-20 says this, it's in your notes, "For God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ, and through him God reconciled," or he made peace with everything to himself. "He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross." Christ paid the price for me, and if I'm going to be a peacemaker, if I'm going to be called a child of God, there will be a price paid by me in order for that to happen. See, peacemakers will be called children of God. Making peace is what God's kids do. And as a child of God, here's a commitment that we make. I will deal with conflict in a way that honors God and benefits others. I will be a person that gives mercy. I will appropriate the scriptures of love covering a multitude of sins. But the contrary of that, and we see way too much of this, Proverbs 16:28 says, "A troublemaker plants seeds of strife. Gossip separates the best of friends." In Proverbs chapter 6, there are six things, even seven things the Lord hates. Some versions call it the abominations of that. And the last one is God hates a person who stirs up conflict in community, causes strife or causes discord. God's desire is for his people to dwell together in unity. I came across this quote in my research this week. Satan kindles the fire of contention in men's hearts and then stands and warms himself at the fire. Satan wants to kill, steal, and destroy you. He wants to move you away from God's blessing. So in a marriage, he will kindle the fire of contention between a husband and a wife, between a parent and their child, between a worshiper and another worshiper, between a co-workers. You know, he'll do that, and then he'll warm himself by the fire because God wants to detract God of his glory. He wants to rob God of the glory that is due his name. But Ephesians 4 tells you and I as followers of Christ to make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Peacemakers are produced by God and by God alone. And in order for you, you can't give what you don't have. And in order for you to be a peacemaker, you need to have peace with God. And that was made by Jesus Christ and him dying on the cross for your sins. And the good news today is you don't have to do anything for that to take place. You don't have to go and do works of service, and you don't have to go back and change things. Today, you can know that you have peace with God if you would say something like this. Would you just close your eyes and pray with me? Lord Jesus, today, I get it. I've been living with the debt of my sin. And I don't know why God did it, but I just choose to believe that you did. You sent Jesus, who never sinned, to pay the price for my pains, for my hurt, for all my wrongs. And to the best of my ability today and with my understanding, I ask Jesus to come in to forgive me of my sins. And the only thing I'm doing is placing faith in what Jesus Christ has done for me. And I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sin and my sins were buried. And now I'm made to walk in newness of life. Thank you, Jesus, for forgiving me. In Jesus' name. Amen. And if you did that, you are a child of God. And God is going to start bringing things out. Now, one of the things you need to do is get plugged in. You need to share what you just did with others and say, I've accepted Jesus Christ, my Savior. What do I do now? We don't have, in fact, the Bible says you're born again. You're a baby. You need to understand what you do. We don't deliver babies at the hospital and say, well, we'll see you when you go to college. Somebody got to care for them. You've got to put yourself in that environment to be cared for. And so I just challenge you, if you want to know and experience Christ in your life, to get involved in the body of Christ and say, what do I do now? Listen, peacemakers are produced by God. But peacemakers also live in peace. Romans 5:1. Therefore, since we've been made right in God's sight by faith, notice this, I'd underline it, we have peace with God. Because of what Jesus Christ, our Lord, has done for us. Listen, what you've done in the past could never nullify what Jesus did for you on the cross. You are acceptable. You are approved by him. It's the great exchange. God has called us to live in peace, 1 Corinthians 7:15 says. Peacemakers are people who bring peace to others because they have it in themselves. Again, I'll repeat it, a person who lives with unresolved conflict in their own heart cannot bring peace to others because whatever fills your life will spill out of your life. You cannot give what you do not have. Isaiah 32, 17 and 18 says, the fruit of righteousness will be peace. Its effect will be quietness and confidence forever. This is the blessing of God upon a life. My people will live in peaceful dwelling places, in secure homes, in undisturbed places of rest. See, here's what the scripture teaches us. Peace is the fruit of trusting in God. You will keep in perfect peace the one who trusts in you. All whose thoughts are fixed on you, trust in the Lord always, for the Lord God is your eternal rock. We memorized this verse a while back. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and what? Peace. Who's going to do the feeling? The God, the filling. God, the God of hope. fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him. You don't get it beforehand. You put your trust in Him, and God begins to fill into your life. And what fills your life will spill out of your life so that you will overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Listen, we've all had this own experience ourselves. When we do not have peace, we begin to lose hope, right? But when you have peace, you have hope. Galatians chapter 5 speaks of all of our own activities and all of our conflict and things that go on that are wrong, anger and wrath and malice and slander and all that stuff. This is what humanity gets us. I said last week, God didn't come to make you more human. God, we're human enough on our own. He came to make us more like His Son, Jesus. But the fruit of the Spirit, that fruit of trusting Him, is love. This Galatians 5, 23 and 24, if you want to write it down. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience. So peace is part of the fruit of trusting in God. So peacemakers live in peace. They embrace that peace. By the way, that peace goes from the Hebrew word shalom, which means wholeness. It's not the absence of external conflict. It's having a peace within, a wholeness, a completeness, health of mind and spirit and emotions coming in your life. That's that peace that you have in your life. In fact, Jesus said in John 16, 33, "My peace I give to you. Peace not as the world gives do I give to you." In the world, you're going to have trials and tribulations. You're going to have conflict out in that world. You're going to have conflict in your family. You're going to have conflict in your church. You're going to have conflict in the political environment of your day. You're going to have all these kind of conflicts that are going. But take courage, because I've given you my peace, and I have overcome the world. There's a peace that passes all understanding, and that peace will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus, Philippians chapter 4 tells us. And since peace is God's calling, we should be intentional about it, which leads us to this next point. Peacemakers plan for peace. I want to challenge you as you go into family situations. You know, there's some people that we're around, and based upon our experience, we know there might be some challenges that happen when you're around them. Hello? Yeah, okay. I see grimaces. I don't hear any amens, but I hear some grimaces. You know those people. Okay? Plan for peace. Because what are the times we want to defend ourselves, we want to protect ourselves. We say, boy, they better not say that. Boy, if I wasn't a follower of Jesus, I'd really tell them what I thought. You know? Listen, that's not mercy. That's not mercy. See, the word, the part of the maker, we talked about peace. The making means to do or to make. It mandates action and initiative. Someone has to intentionally bring peace into places of conflict, to bring two combatants to the table. Jesus didn't say, blessed are the peace wishers, the peace hopers, the peace dreamers, the peace lovers, or the peace talkers. He said, blessed are the peace makers. Peace must be made, which should tell us something else. Peace just never happens by chance. A peacemaker is not passive. A peacemaker plans, strategizes. You know, listen, you have an enemy called Satan that's strategizing against you and your relationships. He wants to kill, steal, and destroy. He wants to show discord upon it. Shouldn't we strategize as the children of God how to bring peace in difficult situations? A peacemaker takes the initiative. And there are necessary preparations if you're going to prepare for peace. You're going to have to fill your heart, your mind, and your soul with the arsenal of God's peace. There's an old saying that says, plan for peace, but prepare for war. And I just want you to know that if you're going to be a peacemaker, you're going to be involved in a fight against the powers of darkness, against relationships. Our battle is not against flesh and blood, but about principalities and powers. The weapons of division, strife, arguments, speculations are not going to go down in your life without a fight. Your peace plan will include countering the stockpile of thoughts that war against your mind, your emotions, and your spirit. Honestly, our world is more adept at drawing up war plans than they are at peace plans. Someone shared with me this week about something that they learned that was helpful for them, and it's helpful to me, and so I thought I would just share that when these thoughts come into your life, you first catch the thought, and then you check that thought and see if it lines up with the truth of God's word. And after you check it, you change that thought. And you know, that is very scriptural. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says to take every thought captive, catch the thought, and bring it under subjection to Christ. See if it is true about what God says, check it. And if it's not, you change it by bringing it into obedience to Christ. Next week, we're going to be on Principle 7, reserve a daily time for with God for self-examination, Bible reading, and prayer in order to know God and His will for my life, to gain and to follow the power to follow His will. And so as we talk about that, some of you do not have right now, you know, oh no, I don't want to leave church feeling guilty another time. Listen, I don't want to motivate anyone out of guilt. Guilt will only take you so far. But listen, your pastor's helping you. You've got 31 days of Bible readings here that you can start. You can start today if you wanted to, but you can start on March the 1st. And you say, I'm going to be marching toward peace in my life. And all these passages of Scripture are a passage about peace. So you can get your crazy Dave's crazy calendar, take it, and then take your Pastor Dave's Bible readings for you, and you can do both at the same time. Invest in youth ministry and sending kids to camp, but also investing in your own life and begin planning for peace in your life, because there's some of those scriptures you're going to want to tag, and you say, boy, I need this. This is God's word to me today in my situation. And you can thank God next week when you hear about the importance of reserving a time for God to say, hey, I've got 5 days already. Praise God. I'm 5 days of reserving that time for God. You know, the Word of God tells us in Philippians 4 to not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition with thanksgiving to present your requests to God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. I love the vivid nature of the Message paraphrase that says, instead of worrying, pray. Let the petitions and the praises shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, God's peace, in other words, everything coming together will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. You know what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life? You have peace. You experience peace in your life. You not only have peace with God, as Romans 5:1 tells us, but you have the peace of God that is guarding your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Not only do peacemakers plan for peace, peacemakers work for peace. You know, when we get to heaven, God isn't going to say, show me your plan for faith, your plan for peace. You never did work it. But I'm really impressed with how you said you were planning for it. You see, you gotta plan the work and you gotta work the plan. Here's what the scripture tells us. See, whatever fills your life is going to spill out of your life. Work at living in peace with everyone and work at living a holy life. For those who are not holy will not see God. Look after each other so that no one of you fails to receive the grace of God. Watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you. Where does the poisonous root of bitterness grow? In your heart, inside. You won't bring peace in any situation if you don't have it growing in your life, and it corrupts many. You see, peacemakers don't stop with plans. Some of the versions here say, instead of work, say, strive together or pursue. It indicates effort, hard work, and perseverance. Again, somebody is going to pay the price for peace to happen. The peacemaker pursues more than the absence of conflict. They don't avoid strife. In fact, sometimes peacemaking will seem to make matters worse. Because here's what peacemakers do. They go to places of conflict. They are the first responders in places of conflict. And sometimes it's messy. Notice what James 3, 17 and 18 says. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure. This is how God thinks about life. It's first of all pure. Now, don't read on yet. I just want to show you how Scripture just fits together so perfectly. Before Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God, he says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. There's a progression to the Beatitudes. You've got to have that desire for that one thing to the glory of God, because a double-minded person will feel at peace and not at peace, feel at peace and not at peace, and they will be on this roller coaster ride all of their life. But the people that are following God are merciful, and they're continuing to receive God's mercy into their life and recognizing that they have a purity of heart and they're seeing God work. And when you see God work, you are a peacemaker, because that is who you are. You are a child of God. And James tells us the wisdom that comes from God is first of all pure, then what? Peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. And this is your memory verse for next month. You can get involved in that too. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. Wow. You see, peace of heart flows from purity of life. And the person who wills one thing is a person who can be at peace. The impure person wants to do many things. Fundamentally, they are divided and they are not at peace with themselves. Look what Hebrews 12, 14 to 18. What about those situations? If I'm going to work for peace, what about those situations where I've tried and nothing's worked? I've prayed, I've forgiven, but it's still we have unresolved conflict. And I think the Bible teaches us some helpful things here as well. Paul writes in verse 14, bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn, live in harmony with one another, do not be proud, be willing to associate with the people of low position, do not be conceited, do not repay anyone evil for evil, be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. And then look what he says in verse 18, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. There's some people who will not let you be at peace with them. And the Bible understands that. God understands it. Listen, God made it possible for all humanity to come to know Jesus Christ and be at peace with him. And yet, majority of people reject that, if possible. But you have to work for peace. Don't write people off. You instead have the heart of your Father in heaven, who when his younger son, as we talked about last week, went and said, Dad, I don't want any of your stuff. I don't want your name. I just want your money, and I'll go live life my own. Goes all the way there and away for him. But listen, the father was still looking for him, wasn't he? And soon as there was any indication that that person was willing, that younger son was willing to turn his heart, the father ran out to meet him. So we cannot say as a child of God, I'm done with this relationship. I'm done with you. We need to keep our heart open. Here's what Scripture would teach us. When you close your heart off to another person, inevitably you close yourself off to God. There is a process of growth that begins to grow in your life. So if possible, and it may not be, but as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Romans 14, 19 says, then pursue the things which make for peace and the building up of one another. I need to look for ways to do this. I need to work at doing this. And then lastly here, peacemakers rest in peace. Now, normally we think about resting in peace as when someone passes from this life into the next. Rip. Rest in peace. Listen, Here's the only way you can rest with peace. You can only rest in peace when you die if you rest in peace tonight with God. People's wishes and people's desires for you to rest in peace. God wants you to rest in His peace today, honoring Jesus Christ in your daily life. You know, peace is powerful. It's peace and God making peace through His Son, Jesus Christ, that ultimately sealed Satan's doom. I just love the contrast in this verse, Romans 16:20. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. He cannot stand up to peace. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you. There are several of the scriptures that we shared today that are in that 31 days of calendar that I have in your notes there. Psalm 4 is one of them. In a very distressful time, the psalmist said, "Answer me when I call to you, my righteous God. Give me relief from my distress. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer. Know that the Lord has set apart His servant, His faithful servant, for Himself. And the Lord hears when I call Him." And he's in unresolved conflict, and he ends with this in verse 8. "In peace I will lie down and sleep." Wow. Rest in peace, child of God. When you're sleeping, you serve a God that neither slumbers nor sleep, and He's watching over you. In fact, the psalm says He gives to His children even in their sleep. And so you can say tonight as you lay your head on the pillow, "God, as much as possible with me, I want to be a peacemaker in this world, and help me to rest in peace today. Help me to take my worries and concerns and put them and transform them into prayers and the praise for You, for You are working on my behalf. For You alone, Lord, make me dwell in safety." So we are called on the road to recovery to reevaluate all my relationships, offer forgiveness to those who have hurt me, and make amends for harm that I've done to others when possible. This principle does not say if they will eventually change. This is on you. As a peacemaker, somebody's got to pay the price for forgiveness, for mercy, for grace. Except when to do so would harm them or others. I'd like to lead you in a prayer that's been attributed to St. Francis, a prayer that's been called a prayer for peace. And I want us to recite that together. I'm going to stop you at the paragraph break and invite you to have God evaluate your relationships. So let's say this together. Lord, make me an instrument of Your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. Okay, stop. I wonder if you read down through there, if there was a name or a face that came to your mind. You don't know what to do, but there's some hatred or there's some injury or there's some doubt, there's some despair, there's some darkness, and there's sadness. And you just want to say, God, let the peace that I have from You flow into this relationship. You know, in Ephesians chapter 4, it says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit with which you are sealed for redemption. And that is in the context of loving relationships and being merciful and forgiving. In fact, Ephesians 4 ends with forgive one another just as God in Christ forgave you. How do we grieve the Holy Spirit? Is we close our heart off to some other person in our life. And just say, God, this is going to be hard. I don't know what to do. And I'm wanting You to do a work in me and help me to love that person with the love that You give me. God, I'm not asking You to make me the best person I can be. Make me like Jesus. That's what You want. Make me like Jesus. Now let's continue to pray. Oh, Divine Master, grant that I might not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to understand as to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoning. And it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Amen. And maybe you want to keep that prayer near to you and with these scriptures and apply it in your life. In closing, I want to take you back to the book of Numbers. God is preparing his people. He's taking them out of the land of sin. He's preparing the promised land for him. And he's giving them representatives of priests that will represent the people before God. And God tells Moses, I want you to tell Aaron and the other priests, Aaron was the priest in that time, I want you to put the blessing of God upon my children, upon my people, Israel. And here's what that blessing is. You've seen it probably in many messages or at the conclusion of services. Here's what it says. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you what? Give you peace. That's God's blessing. So when Jesus, God in the flesh, came to earth and as he was establishing a people who are his followers, he said, blessed are the merciful. Notice this, for they will be called the children of God. Right after that blessing, in number 6, here's what God said to Moses. So they will put my name on the Israelites, and I will bless them. The God who made peace, who paid the price of peace for you, said, I'm going to put my name. They will be called my kids, and I will not be ashamed to call them my children. Because we are at peace, and they are my ambassadors of peace in a world that is full of conflict. And now let me close by sharing a shorter benediction to you, and would you receive it into your life right now? It's from Romans 15:33. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. Father, we've learned today that the only way to have the God of peace with us is to let Jesus pay the price for that peace to come. And then by faith we receive it. So for all that have received you, you gave the right to be called children of God. And for those that are peacemakers, they will be called children of God. And now may the God of peace be with you all. Amen.